Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
We're going to take a look now at the Michael K. Show Pro Picks, and they are sponsored by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And once again, you got to give Peter credit. Peter continues to roll. He's very special.
Good for him. I'm proud of him.
He's a special boy. He really is.
Go ahead. Break down the stats for the people.
I'm going to do it for you right now. How about that?
With the game still for grabs here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't really mean anything. Well, here it is. I took a licking for the three-point game.
What a horror. I
don't appreciate the Eagles, I guess.
I got to tell you. You guys both, I thought, Don lucked out with one of his picks. I thought you both made some bizarre picks yesterday. The Eagles one was very strange, Michael.
I took the 49ers for my two-pointer, so I got that.
Beautiful
pick. But what was bizarre about my picks?
I didn't like the Packers at all either, and frankly,
they own the Bears.
Well, how'd it work out?
It worked out fine, but they should not have covered.
All right, but the Jets could have very easily won that game outright. So was that crazy a pick? They were in the red zone six times. They scored one touchdown.
Don's now, he has 5 points on the weekend.
Good weekend for Don.
I have two, but I could get to three if the Bucks cover. So that would give me 38. Don's at 39. Peter's running away. Peter had the Lions, which in retrospect was such a great pick.
Oh, come on. You knew it when I said it, didn't you?
Yeah, it bothers me. The Bills were his number 1 point pick. And then he has the Bucks tonight, so I've got to root for him. I mean, I've got to set my sights on Don. Bear crap the rug with the Chiefs. Bears now 6-7.
Bear, you did not crap the rug. Not this weekend.
Boone had the Bills, so he's 9-4.
Booney.
Mr. Bruni's 2-1. Really coming on. 15-17-1.
Booney and Bruni are sort of like Pink and the Stink. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Booney and Bruni and Bear. It's a new law firm. Yeah. So Booney is 9-4. Bruni is 15-17-1. And then Bear is 6-7. So that's where we have it. So there's something on the line tonight. And just me keeping contact with Don. And that is it. That's the Michael K. Show Pro Pick, sponsored by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Don, I think it would behoove all of us to wish the twins a happy birthday today, right?
Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. 5 years old today.
Wow. On the 5th.
Very busy day.
Lots to do.
Because their favorite artist is Mr. Ray. Mr. Ray is a local talent guitar player who performs for children. And he's got CDs.
Wait, Peter, is that the one who did the video with Kardashian?
No.
That's no. Ray J.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You are. That is a. Oh. I totally understand how you confuse them.
And so
I just didn't understand how it crossed over to the kids' favorite.
So at school, what they do is that they have you can come to class and bring cupcakes, and you can read to the children and sing happy birthday. So we said, could we have Mr. Ray come and perform? And you should check him out. He's got a Facebook page. He's wonderful. He sings his hit. I mean his big song. Is
Sleeping with Kim Kardashian.
No. Roy G. Biv.
Roy G.
Biv? Red, orange, yellow. Oh,
yeah,
for the colors of
the rainbow. It's a really good song, and the kids love it. And that's his big... That's his piano, man.
I like that you...
So...
No, but I love that you described him as, quote, their favorite artist. I enjoyed that.
So that because he's a talent and has local fame, that they said, well, can we have him play in the auditorium? They call it the barn at the school, and have the other classes come and see him play. So there's like 75, 100 kids, the preschool, the kindergarten, first grade, they're all there to perform for him. And when he's singing Roy G. Biv, they're singing back at him. Like, talked to him afterward. He was so blown away. They love him. It was great. He did a fantastic job. And the kids enjoyed it because it's their favorite. And we got to, later on, read a story, cupcakes, the whole nine. So, and they got bikes. Their first bikes.
Wow. This is a big one.
Now, they're showing a birthday when they were three, different human beings now, 2 years ago. The Yes is showing. I'll try to send them a more updated picture. But, 5 years. Can you believe 5 years, guys?
It goes fast.
It goes fast, man.
Yep. Goes fast.
Wow. So, thank you to Mr. Ray. Thank you to Rutgers Prep. And the kids are going to have themselves a day.
Thank you to RJ.
Mr. Ray J.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks to a lot of people. So, there you have it. Happy birthday.
And thank you to you, Michael, for bringing it up. That's class.
Of course.
Come on. By the way.
So I need you guys to give me some guidance on this.
Okay. Please.
Right before we go on the air. I mean, right before. I had some trouble with my earpiece, and Anthony was screaming, telling me the information, and I only heard the end of it after I fixed the earpiece. But Brian Cashman signs to a 4-year contract with the Yankees. He's 55. This takes him to 59.
He'll be 53 on Saturday.
And why now? I mean, there's got to be a purpose to everything. I think nothing is done accidentally in life. And it almost feels like, I mean, the Yankees certainly know what's happening on social media, what the fans think. It almost seems like a troll job. Now, I don't think it's that. So do you think by announcing this tells you that they're sure that they're going to get judged? I don't know how to interpret it. And I've been around the organization for 40 years. So what does it mean, Don?
It may not mean anything. That's probably the answer. We're in San Diego. It just kind of makes sense. All the baseball people are there. Let's sign him to the deal because he's got a lot of work to do. So you can look at it either way. Like, oh, he's got a lot of work to do. He's got to sign Judge. So let's get him signed. And that way, when the Judge signing is done, that this is done as well. Or, hey, we've got a lot of work to do if Judge leaves. It would be nice that these free agents all know that Brian Cashman is locked in for the foreseeable future. Do you want a free agent general manager to go out and try to, you know, replace all of these, all the talent of Judge by signing all these free agents? So, or it could just be the right answer, which is it's just coincidence. It has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, I don't think anything's coincidental.
But think about it, Michael. The last time Cashman was a free agent, he was making all kinds of signings and all that when he was still free. Remember, we were talking because it was in 16, right?
We knew they were going to get together. I mean, he's been putting together the plan,
right?
So why announce it today?
Because the winter
meetings been announced a week ago.
The winter meetings were yesterday. All right, they started yesterday. They got a deal done and they announced it. I don't think this means anything.
All right.
Well, what would it mean?
I don't know.
But the fact that you don't know and you're close to this organization tells you it was just coincidental. They're all together in San Diego. They're announcing signings. Why not announce the signing of your general manager for 4 more years? Right? I mean, it's not going to. You think this is going to mean that this is going to make Judge happy? That he's more likely to sign now that Cashman signed his deal? Or that other free agents are going to come to the Yankees because their general manager's locked up for the next 4 years?
Now, one more thing about Judge. All right, so he's supposed to make his decision by Wednesday. And we also said at the beginning of the show that the Phillies signed Trey Turner to an 11-year deal. 11 years, $300 million. So I would like to point that out to everybody because one of the knocks on Judge, he's going to be 31 next year. He's going to play at 31. And nobody wants to give him more than an eight-year deal, but there's some thought that'll be a 9-year. Why is Trey Turner, who's going to be 30, who plays a much more demanding position and probably does not end up as a DH the way that Judge will, why can you just cavalierly give him 11 years and fight the urge to give Judge more than 8?
Body size.
Shortstop's a pretty tough position to play when you're 41 years old.
Some may say impossible. He won't be a shortstop for the end of that contract, I would think.
So at most, Don, what is he going to be, a third baseman? I guess he could move to second.
He could DH, too.
No, but he's not a DH type. You know, he's not that kind of skill set. He's your shortstop. So, I mean, here's what I said at the beginning. Maybe I got very emotional saying it. All of these preconceived rules, they're thrown out the window. GMs and owners lose their collective minds. They got to get it. It's like, remember the old Filene's basement? They would open up, there'd be a big sale. People would trample each other.
Yeah.
That's what's happening in San Diego right now. They're trampling each other.
Well,
Scott Boras is sitting there taking bids calmly. He doesn't have to work it anymore. He doesn't have to hand out binders to people. They're giving $43 million a year to 40-year-olds.
See, that's the... It's You made a great point earlier that in 5 years, whenever the CBA is up, please remember this particular time when you start, even for a millisecond, feeling bad for the owners. And it's about winning now. Michael, I really think that there are some owners who are like, listen, I don't know where I'm going to be in 11 years. I might sell the team in the next five or six. Some of these owners are in their 70s, so are they arrogant enough to believe they're going to care about Trey Turner's seventh or eighth year? When they might have sold the team already or, God forbid, passed away, these general managers. What general manager has the arrogance to believe that he's still going to be the GM 10 years from now? So they're all under orders. Win now. Go out there and win now. And then once we win, and we all agree that once you win, nobody's going to care how the contract ages. Because you won. And you'll be a forever whatever team you sign for. So Trey Turner signs a contract with the Phillies. The Phillies win the World Series a couple of times in the front end of that deal. Is anybody going to care if he's a non-entity for the final three, 4 years of that contract when they retire his number?
It's amazing. And I will tell you again, and I'll tell you again in 4 years when they start negotiating again. The only reason that owners cause any problems during collective bargaining agreements is because they're trying to stop themselves. Has nothing to do with the players. They're trying to stop themselves from cannibalizing each other.
Because let's be fair, there's probably a few owners that would like things to be better. I mean, yeah, because there's wackadoos out there, right? So there might be some owners who are saying, well, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit more fiscally responsible. I feel like this is getting out of hand. We got to do something about this. But unfortunately, they try to get the players to pay the dues for it instead of their owners because they can't control each other.
Players, whatever the owners offer, players said, yeah, okay, let's do it. Because the owners, again, will crawl over their grandmother to outbid each other. They just will. They just will. 185 for 5 years for a guy, we said earlier in the show, over under 60 starts that Jacob DeGrom will make for the Texas Rangers, and we're all taking the under.
Right. Now, but here's the thing about the DeGrom deal. It may age poorly immediately. Like, I don't even know if you can look at the DeGrom deal and go, well, that's good. That deal's going to look ugly in the final couple of years of it. It might look ugly this year. How would it look? You just signed a guy to a $185 million contract over 5 years, and he has another one of those. He makes 15 starts for you, and then he's out again. And we still didn't see the DeGrom in the second half of the season, of the first half of the season, in the second half, when his velocity was down. He looked like a different pitcher, right, Michael? We had conversations. Was he trying to save himself for the postseason or whatever? I'm not talking about the effectiveness. I'm talking about he wasn't hitting 100 as often as he was before, right? So this might look poor immediately.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. We'll start with him. Ira.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Good.
Boy, I tell you, that was a tough one yesterday. But, you know, basically, you know, six red zone trips, you come away with one touchdown. Not going to win too many games. I got to give the team credit. They hung in there. They were very resilient in the second half. They crept back in the game. I'm a Mike White believer. I think this guy's a huge quarterback. I think he has a lot to work with. It would be very interesting to see what happens next year and how he finishes this year. But you go to that game yesterday, and, you know, we all second guess. I do it. Everybody does it on Monday. Why didn't run the ball? I get it. But if Berrios catches that ball, they win the game. The only issue I had with that fourth down play is you want to keep the defense guessing. Why would you do it with an empty backfield? There was no running back there. I mean, the Vikings knew that the only thing they could do was either a quarterback draw or throw a pass. So they didn't have to defend the run, really. And that's the issue I had with that. Yeah. And with all that said, if Berrios holds on to it, it's fine. But you know what? This is a different Jet team. I got to give Salah credit, man. You know, they hung together and they fight tooth and nail. They're down to the end. And this defense is for real. So I still think they're going to make the playoffs. We'll see what happens. But for me, Mike White's my quarterback.
Well, you do have a predisposition to fall in love with backup quarterbacks. I mean, you wanted Joe Flacco to play the whole
love
year.
Flacco.
So,
love Flacco.
I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit on Ira.
Yeah, I don't want to get on Ira because, you know, he's such a huge fan. But So you're convinced that this is now – you don't need a quarterback. This is your guy moving forward. I mean, the team – I still – and I love Saleh's answer, and there's no reason to go back and forth with him because he's already got his opinion set. That they rally around everybody. No, nobody. They didn't rally around Wilson the way they're rallying around White. And I know that it's a fun team and they're trying to find something to rally around. But and again, I don't think anybody should feel bad for Wilson. He dug his own grave here. But does that sound like a team that has any thought of Zach Wilson ever playing for them again?
I mean, Garrett Wilson's calling him my dog. I'd go to war with him.
Oh, he's a dog.
I remember like 3 months ago when there were rumors that Zach Wilson slept with his mother's friend. Then he was the greatest. His teammates loved him. Loved him. They thought he was so cool. They're all frauds, every single one of them.
But
I'm sick of it. I mean, anointing Mike White as if he's like Johnny Unitas, mated with Joe Namath. Stop it.
But it's not about that. You're missing the point here.
I guess I am, Peter.
You are, because it's not about him being Johnny Unitas. It's about the way he makes the guys feel. They feel like they're a more competitive football team. There's a camaraderie there that's obviously not there with Wilson.
But I agree with that. But don't they understand when they wear the Mike effing White t-shirts, it's a big middle finger to Zach Wilson. It would be like if I did an interview about the show and all I did was how I love working with Don. Don's the greatest. Don's the best radio guy ever and never mentioned you. How would you feel? That it was a diss of you.
Yeah, no, not great.
It's a good example. Like let's say I guess what's the equivalent of getting, I got suspended.
How about this? During Michael's long sabbaticals during the summer.
Right.
They put Alan Hahn with us. And you start wearing an Alan Hahn shirt to work.
Right.
And Alan Effenhahn.
Alan Effenhahn.
I loved it. And I started saying things like, you know what I love about Alan? He's got the work ethic, man. He comes to work every day. He's prepared. Come on. People would know I'm taking shots at Michael.
He doesn't complain about his health. He's not calling Yankee games.
And I'm making a big deal out of this, but I think it's something to kind of look at. You know, the Jets' own social media sent out the video of the Mike White t-shirts, so the Jets have gotten behind this. Now, would they do that? Would they do that if Zach Wilson was dressed as the backup against Minnesota? How do you go from Mike effing White t-shirts to now all of a sudden he might have to play in the second half for you? But they know he's done. They must know he's done.
Then why is the coach saying I am going to play Zach Wilson this year? That's what he told the media. When? How?
I think everything that Sal is saying is strategic to continue to build him up. You never know what's going to happen down the road. And who knows, maybe we might have to play him in a big game down the road if White got hurt or Flacco got hurt. Plus, you want to send the vibes out there in the offseason, hey, we still believe in Zach, we still think Zach can work, so that maybe somebody offers you a contract. So as long as he's still in uniform, Sal is going to talk him up. But read between the lines, people. I've never seen a team rally around a guy, and I don't want to take anything away from Mike White. He's been good, but doesn't it look like they're going the extra mile here?
Well, I'll say
it just seems like it's coming at, yeah, they love Mike White, but they love him. The biggest thing he is he's not Zach Wilson.
I'll just say it's interesting because obviously I've dealt with a somewhat similar thing on my team, and the players do rally around Heinicke, but not to this level. And when you think about it, Wilson has been the guy for a couple of years. Carson Wentz just got there. It would be easier to do it to Carson Wentz.
Right.
And they don't. They say they love Heinicke, but there's no shirts or anything like that. I mean, that was an aggressive... I agree. That was an aggressive move. But I think instead of killing the players, it makes me want to go, what was really going on there with Zach Wilson?
That's a good point.
That's
it's not just the t-shirts. It's everything they're saying about...
he's a dog!
And listen, I've covered football for 20 years, and I know you want to rally around your guy, but it just seems like it's coming from... an astronomical, like, it just, it's so over the top for me. It makes me start to wonder, it had to be more about something else. It couldn't just be the comment after the game. It can't just be how poorly he played against the Patriots. There must be something else at play here where they just really do not like the guy. And for the Jets themselves to get behind it, because you know how it is at social media, Michael. They don't make mistakes. You know, these aren't interns tweeting things out for the Jets anymore. I mean, you know, when an organization gets behind something in a tweet, when they have that many followers, the Jets have like over a million followers on Twitter. They're getting behind something. That means they're behind that message that's out there. And they don't seem to care what Zach thinks about it because they probably know deep down in their heart, barring something catastrophic, he's never playing for this team again.
Now it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, one local, Rangers Blues. Rangers are not playing well. 6:30 pregame right here on 98.7. So we'll have the pregame on 98.7, and we're going to have the Yes Hot Stove at 6:30 on Yes. Then we have the puck dropping Rangers Blues at 7 o'clock.
Can I give you a little
the Monday
tidbit?
Night football
I know you're
game.
Against it. I what know was you're that, up against man? It. Well, you got to finish off the read, right?
Yeah. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly.
Since the Rangers were up 2-0 against the Lightning, they have played 30 games. They're 11-14-5 in those 30 games.
Not good.
Who would have thought that? We think they're going to the Stanley Cup. And now you wonder what's coming.
And on one note, as we go to break, to leave you with something, some food for thought, re the Jets, Mike White conversation. Did you guys find it interesting that when I asked Coach about Mike White and, you know, could it rub Zach the wrong way, he downplayed it, but then at the end clearly stopped and made a point of talking about how likable and coachable he is. I just thought it was a little interesting.
The only thing that we could take from this, Peter, and I hate to say because I don't really know the kid, Wilson's a nozzle that they don't like, that he carries himself in a way they don't like. I mean, it can't all be about performance on the field. You know, he didn't play great, but they were 5-2 with him.
That's a very fair point. I will say one thing that Mike White does that stands out so noticeably compared to Zach Wilson is his job to throw the simple screens. God, all of those he does like a professional quarterback, which was just something Zach wasn't doing.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Dominic in Brooklyn. Dominic.
Hey, fellas. hate to call back-to-back times and take Donald the Goat to task. But I guess I'll lead with positives. Happy birthday to the kids.
There you go.
Shout out to Mr. Ray for the next feature on
Real Mr. AJ.
That's coming.
Yeah, that's coming.
And, you know, Michael can normally do no wrong, but I have something for him as well. When it comes to Don, I feel like the fervor, if you will, that you spoke that shut-up Yankee fans with is the exact same one you'd have if this happened to Yankee fans. And let me just take us to a world that none of us want to live in. Aaron Judge is not a Yankee anymore, all right? He's our forever guy. He's gone. It's awful. The very next day, we get Justin Verlander, and the main thing we're going on about is how awful it is. I don't know. I think you're speaking with maybe even more intensity that Yankee fans need to shut up. And so that to me is a...
No, I think you're taking it the wrong way. It's just a shame. That's all I'm saying. It's just a shame. I'm not blaming the Mets. See, that's the difference, is that Yankee fans are ripping in to Cashman, wanting him fired because he hasn't done anything yet. I'm not blaming the Mets. It's just one of those things that a Met fan has to live with. I'm going to have a top five coming up in a bit, you know, that's going to accentuate that. It's just a shame that we can't seem to keep nice things, but I'm not yelling at the Mets. I'm not blaming the Mets. I'm getting on Yankee fans for blaming the Yankees for not doing anything yet when there's still plenty of stuff to do and you could bring Judge back. So I think you took my anger the wrong way. I even said, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, I even said I'm not even really mad at anybody. It's just the situation. It's the circumstances. So I'm not ripping into the Mets at all.
Let's go to Carmine in Englewood.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. To start off, Don, happy birthday to Marco and Jalen. That's
Thank
awesome.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I got something for you. And then right before I get to that, Kay, you guys were talking a couple minutes ago before Ira called about maybe why some of the stuff is coming out now. Do you think there's pressure on the Yankees and Cashman and all that with the news of Verlander and Turner signing? And I got one more thing for Don before I let you guys go.
Well, you can't really operate on what other teams do. I mean, the Mets reacted very beautifully off losing, you know, one of their all-time greats, and they signed an all-time great. And that's a good reaction by the Mets. But, you know, the Yankees can't do anything until they find out about Judge. So they can't speed up the timetable until they find out if Judge is signing or not.
I agree. All right, Don, last week you went on, I wouldn't say a rant, but you went on about how it's ridiculous that pitchers get so much money over starting position players. And
right.
I can't tell you how much I agree. And just one little, maybe a stat that helps prove it is, if you go back to the Yankees this past year and you look at how many games Judge and Stan homered in and our record in those games versus how many games Nestor or Garrett or Tyone started five no-hit innings or five perfect innings, see our record in those versus see our record in games Stanton and Judge homered in.
Yeah, it's just that you need starting pitching, so everybody starts throwing money at starting pitchers, but does it make sense for it to be one guy? Who's
and also,
Michael, he's going to make 30 starts, 32 maybe, if everything goes great?
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, you know that I approve of Steve Cohen, but he did it. He's the one who made the salary structure this way when he gave Max Scherzer 43.5. So if you're Justin Verlander and you're coming off a great year where you won the Cy Young, don't you think you deserve the same thing? And now, on the flip side, desperate teams do desperate things. And the Texas Rangers were desperate. And that's why they gave an incredibly injury-prone pitcher a five-year no-trade guarantee of $185 million. So don't the Yankees worry about what the Giants, who are desperate, are going to offer Aaron Judge?
But isn't it's like hilarious to me that
how so?
The teams will like be nervous about signing Aaron Judge because he's got a big body and he's had some injuries in the past, and yet no qualms about signing a pitcher.
And there's nothing more fragile than a pitcher's arm. Nothing.
Right, those guys get hurt all the time. And you know what? Judge is going to get his four or five at-bats. He's going to impact pretty much every game played during the course of the season. And you've got a pitcher that's going to pitch 30 times, probably not pitch more than a handful of times beyond the sixth inning, all for the possibility that they might be able to help me in the postseason. Well, what did Scherzer do in the postseason? What did DeGrom do in the postseason? What did
Verlander
Maddox
was
do
awful
in the
postseason?
Until
the five-inning win that he got in the
right.
World Series.
And you know what? Yeah, maybe he might get three starts in his best-of-seven series, And you still might lose the series because the rest of the pitchers you can't afford to pay because of all the money you paid the one pitcher, you know, ends up losing the series for you. So I don't get it, but obviously the money is being spent, so that's what you're worth. You're worth what somebody's willing to pay you. I'm never going to be able to understand.
All right, so that being said, if you're Aaron Judge, have you changed your parameters here? I mean, he wanted to be paid more than Trout. Well, that's going to happen. Trout's 35.5. But can he make the case? I want at least $40 million a year, at least. And I should make more than Scherzer and Verlander. I should. Now, I don't know if it's average annual value for Judge. It could be total value of the contract. I'm not quite sure which way he's leaning. But does he have a right to ask for a 10-year deal if Trey Turner got an 11-year deal at the age of 30, and he's 31, and although Trey Turner's great, Aaron Judge had one of the great seasons of all time. So if I'm the Yankees, I shudder to think what the Giants are going to offer him. And then the Yankees have to make the decision. Do we have to have him at all cost, or do we turn and say, okay, that's more than we think you're worth? That's a huge decision. Wow.
And then you got to start paying it. I don't think anybody else is going to start to sign here, but some guys have. When do some of your plan B's and C's start signing with other teams? Can that happen before Wednesday?
It could. I mean, they're up against it. They're up against it.
I mean, I don't know if they were going to be interested in Trey Turner, but, you know, Turner signed. He didn't wait for Judge. We all thought that, once Judge signs, you'll start to see everybody else sign. Well, we saw Verlander. We saw DeGrom. Now we've seen Turner. You know, what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, you don't want to see the Yankees' plans dissipate because of who leaves via free agency, and then that might make adjustments. Feel like they can stay strong, but if everybody else leaves.
If I'm the Yankees, even if you sign Judge, you're going to laugh at me. I think I give Rodon the 6 years. I know he's had shoulder problems. He had shoulder surgery. He's had Tommy John problems. He's had Tommy John surgery. And if roll back the tape from our show 2 years ago when he was released by the White Sox, not tendered. I said the Yankees should sign him. The Giants did, gave him $3 million, and boy, did that ever pay off. So now he wants $30 million a year. If you could get that guy for $30 million a year when you just gave a 40-year-old $43 million a year, I'd jump at it. Jump at it. Anybody who gets Rodon, I would jump at it. And he might get injured during that time. But, you know, he'll have time to come back. You know why? Because he's 30, and it's a six-year deal. So even if he's out for 2 years, you might get him 4 years out of six.
Well, you want to justify the signing of Judge, right? I mean, I know they're signing Judge because they want to fill the ballpark, get ratings on yes and all that, but mostly it's because they want to win. So if you want to make that contract look good, you want to make sure you've got guys around him that can help him win. I mean, you don't want to come back with the exact same team, Michael. It wasn't good enough to win since 2009. It hasn't been good enough to win since Judge has been up here. So if you want that money to mean something, then don't you have to spend even more to make sure it does?
You would think so.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
It is now time for today's Daily Don, driven by Nissan. It's topical. It's in my soul.
Okay.
Top five Met departures.
Top five, and that means top five, like sad, iconic players?
The most impactful. The ones that hurt them. They stung. They stung me. I can't speak for everybody else, but it's my list.
Let's go with Seaver 1.
Well, which one?
Thought about it.
Number one Seaver is the first one. The trade to the Reds. It was one of the worst days in young Don LaGreca's history. Go back to 1977. The Mets trade him and Dave Kingman. Kingman, I believe, went to the Cubs. And, of course, the same night, you saw Tom Seaver go to the Cincinnati Reds. Pat Zachary, I think, was the crown jewel of that deal back, which didn't make you feel very good. And that was a tough one. The Midnight Massacre, they called it, Peter. And I've got that one as number one.
Thank you.
Strawberry to the Dodgers.
Strawberry to the Dodgers. Michael, I have it three. You know, he was a perennial all-star. Obviously was a part of that 100-win Met team in 88. And the reason it stung is he hinted about going to the Dodgers then. Remember, he had an article during their run in the playoffs where they eventually lost to the Dodgers. And he hinted about wanting to go back home and play in L.A. And then 2 years later, after the 1990 season, left, maybe pound for pound, the greatest offensive player in franchise history, departs to the Dodgers, and then, of course, wins a World Series with the Yankees. Not great. That I have as number three.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I mean, let's just throw out Jacob DeGrom.
All right. Well, it's kind of lazy out of you, but it is correct.
Thank you.
I mean, it's five because I'm older, and I think there are value to him leaving, but still it stinks that this great pitcher that everybody was so excited about, that came out of nowhere, Michael. You remember his first start
at
Citi Field against the Yankees, and all the talk was about Wheeler and Harvey.
Michael K. talk about that day?
And you said that this kid's got it. This guy is going to be great. What, saw him for six innings, Peter, at Citi Field. Me and Ryan Hurley, our program director, drinking cannons in the stands.
A famous day on this show.
It is a famous day. Yes has footage. Yes has footage of the cannons.
Sure they do.
And we saw greatness. A couple of Cy Youngs, a World Series appearance, and then, as most great Met players do, leave for someplace. I list it, though, at number five.
All right, this is it's not a high-profile one, but it had a hurt. How about Ray Knight?
You know what? Stung. I actually had it in the top five earlier in the day.
But it dropped out.
But it did drop out, Michael. Mm. Of course, significant, it hurt. He was the MVP of the 86 World Series. And for a lousy $200,000, which even back then was not a lot of money, Cashman, decided to let him go to the Baltimore Orioles instead. So here is this great MVP, great World Series, and he doesn't even get to follow it up in a Met uniform. But he is, unfortunately, a honorable mention. But a good poll, Michael. A very good
poll.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
Michael, that was Jeff Kent you threw out there?
No.
Just threw out Ray Knight.
Oh, you said Ray Knight. Goodness. Sorry. How about Jeff Kent? Sorry.
No. We didn't know it at the time, though, Peter. So that's why you can't say that it hurt much.
It came to hurt more.
I mean, it bothered me because I liked him as a player, but I don't think anybody thought he was going to blossom into the borderline Hall of Famer that he became. So I do not have him in my top five.
How about Mr. Nolan Ryan?
I was very young. It was the dumbest trade in the history of sports. Jim Fregosi, my God. But
good
no.
Man.
A very good man, but not the third baseman the Mets had hoped. But a little bit before my time, even though I love Nolan Ryan, he's one of my favorite players of all time, but not on my time.
Couldn't leave, or like, I mean, he kind of like wasted away.
Yeah, I don't have him just because it wasn't that jarring one day he's here, the next day he's gone kind of feel to it. It does stink, and he's on my list of guys that were great that didn't get the chance to finish here and, of course, win a World Series with the Yankees as well. But not in the theme of the list, no. But a good pull, Michael. Good pull.
So this is a big time player we're talking about.
Oh, it's a significant player in Mets history for sure.
Significant player in Mets history.
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you both a hint. He did something pretty significant his last year as a Met, offensively.
Something no Met had ever done.
And then gone.
No. I mean, I was going to throw out Kevin Mitchell just because I know how much he meant to the 86 team and how much they missed him when he was gone.
I know, but at the time I thought Kevin McReynolds, he's a good guy. He's going to help us win.
All right.
No.
Come on, Michael. You're letting me down.
I'm letting myself down. Give me a position, Don.
The infield. How about that shortstop?
Oh, Reyes with the
batting Jose
title.
Reyes. Yeah. Jose Reyes won the batting title his last year as a Met. And then he goes over to Miami and obviously didn't move on to really great things, but, you know, here he is. The Mets finally get a batting title, and as kind of fugazi with his bunt, and then he takes himself out of the game. But still, a batting title nonetheless, and then bang, he's gone. I have that at four. So I have Seaver the first time is one. I've got Strawberry at three. I've got Jose Reyes at four. DeGrom, five. I've got Ray Knight as an honorable mention.
You and Seaver second time could be an honorable mention.
No, I've got that at number two.
Oh.
You know why? Because that was just embarrassing on top of embarrassing. It was one thing to trade Seaver in his prime. Made you sick, right? That's why it's number one. But the reason I've got Seaver number two, Michael, he was going to finish his career here. And I was going to get to really appreciate him as an older Met fan.
Oh, poor Don.
After seeing him pitch a no-hitter with the Reds, get to see him win his 300th game as a White Sox.
Wow.
Oh, no, excuse me. He won the 300th game after he left the Mets because he went to the White Sox because the Mets left him unprotected, Michael. They go through all the trouble of bringing him back. It's a big moment. Don LaGreca, a 15-year-old Don LaGreca, very excited. And then he goes and leaves and wins 300th with the White Sox and at baby. Yankee Stadium, by the way.
I know.
I've got Seaver part two at two. That's right, when he got knocked over by the cow. So Seaver part one, one. Seaver part two, two.
Two. Got it.
Strawberry three. Reyes four. Jacob DeGrom five. I thought about Dave Kingman because it killed little Don LaGreca. That was my favorite Met. Even though he was human trash, the fact that he hit home runs when the Mets were awful. And I say that because he sent a rat to a female reporter. We were talking about him. I got in trouble, Michael. I did two segments on my
show. Yes, I showed you drinking the cannon.
There you go. I talked two segments about Dave Kingman on my Saturday show. Minding my own business in the middle of the summer, Peter, on a Saturday show. Got phone calls. Got reprimanded by Kevin Graham, who is our PD, saying, "Who's Dave Kingman? Why are you talking about him for two segments?" And I lost all respect for Kevin at that moment and never got it back.
Well, you also did an entire show on Rob Halford, so.
No, I did. See, you exaggerate to make a point, which means you don't have a point. I had him on as a guest, and I do it again. I do it now. All right?
Not on this show, you
And
wouldn't.
The people that wanted to fire me could have taken me out of my misery and fired me.
We have to break now because...
No, I'm not done talking.
Wow.
Well, you tell Steve
Young. So my brother gets Kingman on the phone. Says, "We just done two segments. We love you. We'd love to have you. My brother's a big fan." He said no and hung up the phone. So he's dead to me.
Oh, my God.
Your brother must have been a good producer because he has...
I got to tell you, seriously?
He's not afraid of anything.
Outstanding producer. Better brother.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.